Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Of course, I want to hear from you, so give me a holler. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call me, you can always email me your questions, comments, concerns at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, you can hit me up on the email smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. If you want to social network with me, you can hit me up on the Facebook group. You can ask to join the Facebook group, actually. Myself or Mr. J will add you. We, of course, are happy to say that Mr. J survived the hurricane down in North Carolina. He didn't get drowned. He was out there swimming and, swimming along. You know how they have the people that swim with the fish? You know, he's swimming with the gators, whatnot, because he gangster like that. Shout out to Mr. J. If you listening, you're a sucker. But you're not, because you're a cool-ass dude. I just wanted to say that on the air. Anyway, Smooth Drama Group on Facebook. Please, ask to join. Myself or Mr. J will let you in. Anywhere that you find Smooth Drama, any social network, if you find me on there, add me. I add you back, and we can talk a taste on it. And I have a special announcement for next week. I may or may not have a new co-host. What's happening is this. Right now I'm doing like P. Diddy did in Making of the Band. I made my new co-host walk to Vallejo to get me some Twinkies. So she makes it back, then she's my co-host. It's real simple. Hot Twinkies. They can't be cold. Anyway. So, speaking of preposterous things, I saw that Nordstrom has for sale sneakers. They're called Super Stars Taped sneakers, and they're going for $530. I couldn't believe it. They have shoes that are dirty and they have tape on them, and people are buying them. Apparently, a lot of people thought that it was cool. They sold out its current stock. It called Superstar Tape Sneakers. It's from the Italian brand Golden Goose Sneakers, which are only available in whole sizes, and it boasted a crumply hold it all together tape. Yeah. $500 for a pair of old tennis shoes. I got a bunch of those. I got a bunch of those, so I'm not throwing my sneakers away. I'm just going to sell them to Nordstrom at wholesale. They sell them for $500, and people are buying. You know, the sneaker game is like the dirtiest game out there, right? I mean, it's dirty because, you know, these shoes, they're made for like a dollar in another country. They're sold for $100, $200. And, you know, for something preposterous like this, they're sold for $500. But my point is, we've got tennis shoes, right, that, oh, man, kids don't want to wear their tennis shoes and get them dirty because tennis shoes is like the new it game or whatnot where, you know, like kids, they'll take their shoes off and run in their socks because I don't want to mess my shoes up. I mean, it is the ultimate in punk shit. I'm like, hold on. So why are you out here ruining your socks? You know, I see kids with like holy ass socks all the time. Like, what? And it's like, I don't want to mess my shoes up. And we ain't talking about dress shoes, church shoes, none of that. We're talking about tennis shoes. Oh, but these are different. Like, okay, they're different. They're different tennis shoes that are designed to be played in, but kids don't want to play in their tennis. They have two pairs of tennis shoes. There's the shoes that I wear out so I can look good, and then there are the shoes that I play in. Check your kid's bag. If your kid got that extra thick book bag, and you know it ain't filled with books, they probably got that extra pair of shoes in there. It's kind of pathetic, actually. When I sit there, like, so, and now we got dirty shoes on sale. And people are buying dirty shoes because I guess that's the exact opposite of having the clean shoes. Like, well, I got dirty shoes. And now that I have my dirty shoes, hey, I am the one. Further telling me that I am living in the bizarro world. That's what they're doing. And speaking of the bizarro world, I'm not saying I'm scary, but I'm saying I'm scary. There's a new product called OmniSkin. And so OmniSkin is made from sheets of elastic, and it's studded with sensors and what they call actuators. And, you know, it can be fixed in place and used. And so some of you are like, what the hell did you talk? What the hell is OmniSkin? Well, OmniSkin is some stuff that you can tie onto your stuffed dolls and they will move. It's like your dolls will automatically be like moving around and whatnot. Now, when I saw that, I was like, science robotics. Like, So, I don't know about y'all, but back in the day, you saw Poltergeist, and it was like the little clown thing in the closet, under the bed. And before that, I remember watching this movie where this lady brought like a doll from another country, and the doll was possessed by a demon, whatnot, was chasing her around. Now, myself, I wouldn't necessarily be that scared of a little doll because I'm like, I'm going to catch your little ass. I get you in the bag, and I'm just going to burn you. But at the same time, I'm just thinking like, you know, my niece got me a stuffed animal. I keep it by my bed on my nightstand. And I'm thinking, you know what? If that sucker moves without me moving it, I'm probably going to throw it away. I'm gonna pour some salt on it. I'm gonna burn it. I'm gonna do all kinds of medieval stuff to it. Like, oh hell no. And I'm just thinking like this OmniSkin. Because, you know, it's like, oh, it's cute, and your stuffed animals will move, whatnot, if you put them on the legs. But I always think, like, artificial intelligence, which is not artificial intelligence, it's intelligence. They say it's artificial intelligence. I say it's intelligence. And so you create something, and you say they have sensors and actuators. So if they actuate, maybe they'll just think, you know what? The logic says humans are no good for the planet. Humans mess up the planet. So what would an actuated stuffed doll do with artificial intelligence? Try to get rid of the human. I'm just saying. I know it sounds like something right out of the science fiction movies, whatnot. But is it? Is it that out of bounds? They already got the artificial intelligence that can make your video game just keep going on and on and on. And I always say that kind of thing is kind of dangerous. So, you know, we got virtual reality. So, and some of that is so real that you don't really know whether you're in reality or not. So, I mean, let's say, and mind you, I'm a conspiracy theorist, so y'all may say, oh, he's a little kooky. But let's just say you got drugged up, kidnapped, whatnot, and you got put in the virtual reality and don't even know it. It's so real. And this artificial intelligence, as they call it, keeps changing the game. You're thinking that it's life that you're living. But it ain't. It's your omni skin messing with your emotions. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, y'all. I mean, y'all don't think about it like, ah, you tripping. I'm saying, am I tripping? Is that really that out of bounds? Maybe not. Speaking of out of bounds, we're going to talk about grinding here for a second. And now I ain't talking about the old school grinding where, you know, you're in the house party and you start dancing with the girl, then it's like, hey, put on that slow song. Put on that old, that Luther Vandross, that 8-minute song, so you can grind on the girl on the wall for like 8 minutes. Get blue balls in the morning. Now, Grindr, which is the gay alternative to Tinder, launched a new initiative this week to combat different forms of discrimination experienced by users of its popular gay dating app, which currently boasts like 3.8 million users daily. The new initiative is titled Kinder. And so it's going to tackle issues such as sexual racism, transphobia, and fat shaming. As apparently, there's sexual racism. Now, I didn't know sexual racism was a big thing. I just thought it was racism. But according to Landon Zumwalt, online discrimination has reached epidemic proportions, affecting not only Grindr but other social networks. Our Kinder initiative is a rallying call for Grindr and our community to take a stand against sexual racism and all forms of othering. Now, granted, I'm going to focus on the sexual racism part here for a second. Once again, I just thought it was racism. But apparently, if you're a black dude, you can't suck a white person's dick. It's sexual racism. It's like you can't get it. You know, so you have the black gay dude, and I mean, you know, they say it's not racism. It's sexism. But now they're saying it's sexual racism, so that means somebody is turning down somebody because of the color of their skin, not the content of their character. So we can put that down as another one of them things that you can't do as a black person. Because I'm going to guess it ain't just black men being turned down by white men. Like, you know what? You can't suck this white dick. I'm guessing that also you cannot, as a black woman, eat the white pussy. That just don't sound right. But I'm just saying. Sexual racism, that's what that is in all forms of othering. They say transphobia. I didn't think gay people had that problem. They have racism. It's null and void. It's just, hey, you're against us because we're gay. Gay people being racist towards other gay people. Who would have thought? I would have never thought that would have happened. Oh my goodness. On that note, I think I'm going to go on break. This is the homies over at the Hue Copters.
Better knock knock for niggas who trunk pop, make music. is ahead. More than some legs and five steps I pledge. It's just like Houston whenever I land, wherever I stand. Original man, goddamn.
Young propeller to fly by night, plate a glass storyteller, tell my mama hi. Tell my daughter better never ever in her life, fall for niggas like her daddy. I. So many Canterbury tales and white knights and vagabonds, lady heroines and heroines that break the dawn, free breaking bread from breaking bad. Break fast and tough getting your food to the looms, a 100-yard dash, cash food, everything around me. Heard that in the song. Homie, NBC, H.O.D., a needle in his arm. Real life ain't a movie, good fella groupies. A tally don't want to chop it with eggplants and moolie. So, beautiful, I'm hot-headed, you know, quick. Epitome of young, onyx and rich. Till the blue men visit in Billy Club. It's got two iron wrist, canine, tip still.
Red rum!
A chalk outline round it, cause the bird with the wire that I just want stitched. Barbie gum pop, she turns to the top her. He reads right and signals to copters. Watch stand down the North Point
Recapture.
Daddy's grounded now, but tell her I was hot on. Yeah. Yeah, three hot for top, but I stole the block on.
Right back to the hole in me.
Hey. Daddy's grounded now, but tell her I was hot on.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was the homies down in Houston, the Hugh Copters. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. Normally, I don't do this early in the week, but sometimes you just have to make special exceptions. And it's got to bust out with my dumbass of the week. It's real early, but somebody distinguished themselves. All right. So, as most of you know, Bill Cosby was prosecuted and convicted for 3 counts of aggravated sexual assault. And so his lawyer... his publicist, Andrew Wyatt, outside the courtroom in Pennsylvania, he says, and I quote, "They persecuted Jesus, and look what happened." You know, he said, he goes back and backtracks. Not saying Mr. Cosby is genius, Jesus, but we know what this country has done to black men for centuries. So Mr. Cosby is doing fine. He's holding up well, and everybody know, everybody that wants to say anything negative, you're a joke as well. And you know, you go back and forth on this with the Bill Cosby. Yes. Black icon. Did a lot of positive things for the community. Projected the image of a family man. I mean, and he did a lot of things. He helped put a lot of people through school, supported a lot of positive causes. He had a great image. Now, what I take exception to is that, you know, this guy's like, well, everybody that wants to say anything negative, you're a joke as well. And I would co-sign on the persecution of the black man part, except for the whole he's like guilty. He's never not said I'm not guilty, which is a key fact that is omitted. And yes, I know, he's the one that's going to jail, the black man, for raping a lot. I mean, because basically his argument the whole time is, it's like, yes, I raped a lot of women. I just didn't rape some of these other ones. That's his defense. So, yeah. He's going to jail, whereas the other white ones, Harvey Weinstein, it's a whole litany list, Martin Sheen, it's a bunch of them. They not going to jail. I mean, Martin Sheen giving women AIDS. He ain't going to jail. But that's not the point here. I mean, because it's like, we're talking about apples and oranges. Bill Cosby, once again, is guilty. He admitted to being guilty. He has never not said, I'm not guilty. But, I mean, we defending this cat. And, yeah, I mean, they're parading him out there. And it's a sad testimony when we're talking about cultural icons. You know, people that you look up to. You know, they have this positive image and they get destroyed. Now, I mean, it's a generational thing. I mean, we have generationally been conditioned to see our icons be destroyed. Used to be with the whip broken in front of you. Then it got to the hanged in front of you, balls, dick cut off. Then it was just straight up assassinated. And now we have the political assassinations where you besmirch the character and destroy their personal lives for the whole world to see. So, once again, I mean, the message is always, hey, if you're going to speak up and say something, we're going to make sure that your life is going to suck. And, I mean, yes, it's sad to see Cosby fall. It's sad to hear the allegations, and then, you know, once you dig up the facts and find out what's happening, I mean, it's really no defense for the man. It's something that, unfortunately, we're used to. The way they're going about taking us out systematically, I mean, it's evolved a little bit, and so now you're just going to destroy them through whatever their vices are. I mean, it's still the same thing. The black women that he raped, they're not the ones that came forward. It's the white woman. White women. Now, there are some people, oh, well, she's ugly, da-da-da, unattractive. And all that's unimportant. You know, what's important is, I mean, what he did. Now, we can go into why he did it. You can say in this country, there's a certain amount of pressure and undue pressure that is put on all of us as black people. You know, as just a black man, you know, every day we go out here and everyone thinks the worst of us. I mean, that's the general stereotype. And so every day you have to deal with that. You have to deal with, is this the time that I'm going to get stopped by the police and killed? Or you're in the elevator and somebody still clutches their purse or looks at you like you're trying to rob them. And, you know, it could be frustrating. Now, I'm guessing Bill Cosby didn't feel that. But still, when you're sitting at the table with your rich contemporaries and you're still lesser than them, and that's the perception that is given out, that is the energy that you feel. I mean, I'm guessing no matter what table he sat at, they let him know that you are inferior. You know, I'm guessing that could be a little frustrating. And so when you're devoid of the power that you think that you should have, how do you get it back? I'm not saying that this is his excuse or why he did what he did, but I can see how it went down that hole. Because, you know, that Ralph Ellison, the Invisible Man, when you're invisible and people don't acknowledge your existence, and, I mean, we're talking about you're a rich, quote-unquote, should-be powerful man. And you get in them circles and you ain't shit. How does that feel? So, when we look at him and I'm getting power and he's overpowering people, we can say on the microcosmic level, you know, dealing, talking about sociological terms, micro or macro. On the micro level, this is him attaining, gaining some power. Hypothetically speaking. It's my hypothesis. I could be wrong. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying, it just, as a casual observer who has never had a conversation with him, but heard that he was a very bitter man, hard to get along with. And I mean, we know Bill Cosby for years. He talked about black folks and standards and how we needed to do this, we needed to do that. And many comedians, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, all of them talked about Bill Cosby telling us to do this and telling us to do that. And they're like, shut that shit up. So it's one of those things. Generally, when people rail against something, it's probably because they're perpetrating it. And so he's telling folks they got to have standards, but he don't have standards. I mean, because at the end of the day, he was raping women. Now, by no stretch of the imagination am I going to say that, yeah, he, you know, didn't have some consensual sex with a lot of women. At the same time, you know of cases where these weren't people who wanted to have sex with him. I mean, because there are a lot of undocumented cases where people have talked about it. They didn't come forward, but they said that he did some things that were inappropriate. Like you have a drink and you wake up and your butthole hurts. I mean, you know, it's that old joke, right? That people used to laugh at. Oh, you be at a party and, you know, guys be talking about, oh, you get your drink spiked, you wake up and your butthole hurts. I mean, this is that reality. That was his reality. Now, what brought him to it, all we can do is speculate. But I just know it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. And so, yeah, he's in handcuffs. and he went to jail. And a whole generation had to look at it and see it. You know, and I don't know for people in my generation who grew up watching the Cosby Show and Fat Albert. I won't say we're all diminished, but it is a sad day. It's been a sad day for a long time because you see it just getting played out. It's a sad day nonetheless. Speaking of sad days, a lot of people know Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy. He is working on his first movie that he's directed called Till, based on the life of Emmett Till. And he was doing a little advertisement for the movie where he showed Emmett Till's mother, Mammy Till Mobley, in memes resembling the Colin Kaepernick Nike ads. And folks went crazy. Like what? Why is he doing that? What is he doing this for? And, you know, I understand they're saying, oh, okay, so he's using Nike. So the Nike ads, and he's propagating Nike. Maybe Nike may have gave him some money for the movie. I don't know. We don't know. I mean, I just know he's doing an Emmett Till movie. And if you don't know who Emmett Till was, if I have to explain it to you, there's something wrong with you. And I'm not going to get into it. Google it if you don't know who Emmett Till is. Point is, Emmett Till, young man who was murdered, beaten and murdered brutally by some racist crackers. The mother had the open casket so the world could see it. This is the movie. So people complaining about the believing something, even if it means sacrificing everything, ad for Emmett Till, showing Emmett Till's mother in the open casket and all that. People having a problem with that. I can see your point, but at the same time, I'm guessing he's thinking inadvertently, subconsciously, maybe you wouldn't care. Because, I mean, black folks care about Nike. Y'all pay $200-$300 for a pair of shoes. So if you put that Nike ad out there, maybe you'll care about something that's systematically been happening to you forever and a day. Somebody lies and a black man is dead. I mean, I think we just went through that with Botham a couple weeks ago, where that heifer lied, killed him in his house, and the black man is dead. Kind of the story. So, point is, if this gets you to go see that movie and make you have a conscience, because, you know, it's a war. If you're looking, there's a group of people, since we don't want to say race, there's a group of people who are looking at you crazy and doing all kinds of things to make you uncomfortable. We'll say that. We'll do the kinder, gentler thing here. You're feeling uncomfortable as a person of darker hue. What do you do? How do you do? Because what's happening out here, I mean, we can say there's a president of the United States who has propagandized some policies that are not dark-hued friendly. There's a certain energy, not that energy is ever change, but I think the energy has ramped up a little bit, just a little bit, negatively, towards people who may or may not look like and sound like you or I. I don't know. Emmett Till, the movie. Is it worth seeing? I don't know. But the fact that he wants to make that movie is gangster. Because we talk about gangster. For most of y'all, gangster is shooting each other. But gangster is telling our story in our voice. And we'll see if he does that. And on that note, I'm going to go old school with it. This is Marvin Gaye, Inner City Blues. Being able to afford stuff, can't pay my taxes. Even though now we know they take that right out your check. And if you don't pay your taxes, they'll lock your ass up. Just funny how, you know, I talked about it, Groundhog Day. Same thing happened over and over again. Nothing ever changes. It's just like that alarm clock hits and the exact same thing gonna happen. Somebody being harassed by police. Somebody's being treated unjustly. Not because they've done anything that's like super illegal. It's just because your hue may be a tad bit darker than the other person's hue. So we can be kinder and gentler about it. You know, we're going to be kinder like the good people over at Grindr. We're going to be kinder. Okay. We're not going to have sexual racism going on here on my show. Gosh darn it. Dag nabbit. It's not going to happen. Anyway, this is Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
So what is that? That happened again. That we saying, oh, hell no. All right. So, you know, we've been talking about very low, like, it's almost like whispering, like, these priests, these Catholic priests, and what they're doing, what they're covering up, and how they're not going to jail. I mean, it's like, so in order for me to bring down the Catholic Church, I think I almost have to become a Catholic priest and then do the unthinkable and rape a little kid or grown up. Then maybe I'll affect change, because then they'll arrest me because I'll be the black priest. Right? I mean, I think that's the only way that they're going to go down. So, like, Father Malone up in the Massachusetts area released the name of only 42 priests when the internal documents show knowledge of up to 200 priests with allegations against them. And she said, because the list of 42 priests were priests against whom we had substantiated allegations, meaning more than one allegation. And were accused of abusing minors, not adults. The Father Malone said he has no intention of resigning, and they don't want to get rid of him because his church makes a substantial donation, meaning they make a lot of money, and the church cannot lose that support. Because, homie, I cover it up. But we make money. We make bank. And we can't get rid of that seller, right? So, because they're talking about there's so much support for him to stay on and lead the diocese, whatever they call it, through this storm to renewal and purification and the new beginning. Now, in this church abuse, there's a what they call a charter case. Now, a charter case is one in which the abuse occurred when the victim was not yet 18. But since you're over 18 and you were messed with, that is not a charter case. So those cases don't count. So basically, if you're over 18 and your priest mess with you, propositions you, whatnot, they're not necessarily going to count that. That don't count because, hey, it's not nothing to chart. Those allegations don't count. So, you know, we've heard all kinds of numbers. So I'm always of the belief that if they put a number out there, you like double that, maybe even triple it, because as they say, according to their internal documents, they don't even record the ones that are over 18. Like, so it's a huge difference. You molest me at 15 and you molest me at 18, 19. Huge difference. Nope. But the point is, hell, there's no stink about that. I can rape little boys to infinity if I'm a Catholic priest. There will be no outcry on this at all. I mean, you barely hear about it. They'll talk about Kaepernick all day, every day. Anybody that kneels all day, every day. But these priests who got a lot of bodies on them, you know, peaceful protests, black man, horrible person. Do it on your time. Don't do it on our time. Catholic priests, they're doing it on your time, because that's your time to become one and get with the spirit, get the spirit in you. Instead of getting the spirit in you, they're trying to put something else in you. That's where get the spirit in you is for them. Now, of course, I'm not saying that it's all of them. We know that it is never all of them. But it's a good amount. And the fact that they just transfer these cats, so they'll go somewhere else and they just get started back up, they just get a little counseling like, you know what? You didn't really want to fuck them little boys, did you? No, I did not. Okay, go forth and be fruitful. And become one with the Lord. That's all it takes. I don't even think they get like real admonishment. You just get moved to it like, all right, well, you done made it hot here in Massachusetts. We have to send your ass to Arizona. Try not to fuck nobody in Arizona. Okay. We forgive you for your sins. Boom. And so he's down in Arizona. Fucking little boy. Because if you're a Catholic priest, and you rape multiple people, you can get a job. Because their job is bringing you the word. The Lord's word. Think about that. I can get a job anytime. And I rape people. Not a big deal. I get caught. I get sent to another part of the United States. I get caught there. I get sent to another part of the United States. Just keep sending me somewhere where nobody knows who I am. That's it. Yeah. The irony of it all. It is so amazing. And speaking of the irony of it all, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about a new syndrome. You know, I touched on it a little bit earlier. Lying trick syndrome. Amber Geiger, that heifer, she got fired. I will take it back. Last week I said Renee Hall was the dumbass of the week because she was like, no, we can't fire her. And then I guess it got really, really hot and they had to fire her. Amber Geiger, if you don't know, is the woman that killed the brother in his house, saying that she thought it was her house. even though there's witnesses that saying that she was banging on the door, let me in, let me in. She's out on bail. Homie's dead. And her her lawyer saying they bowed to the pressure from anti-police groups and took action before all the facts had been gathered and due process was afforded. That's not the way our system of justice should work. So, how should our system of justice work? I mean, because once again, we know if I go into somebody else's house and shoot them and say, hey, I thought it was my house. I've already been passed around in jail like 3-4 times already. I've been raped a lot. It's like one of them realities of life here, right? But she, because she, the lying trick syndrome, it's what's out here. Because, people said don't wish cancer on people. Then I was told, don't be calling these women bitches. I'm like, all right, so I'm not going to wish cancer on them. I'm not going to call them bitches. I'm just going to say lying trick syndrome. So we know. LTS. They suffer from LTS. They have lying trick syndrome. They can't help it. It's a disease. Like, they call it when you just scream out the cuss words, whatnot. You got the Tourette's. You have LTS. You're just predisposed to lying on black people. You can't help it. It's just one of them things. You just and you're gonna lie on black folks. So, yeah, our system of justice should work like how it's been working. For them, it works perfectly. I can kill black folks with wanting abandoned. I can go into your house. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about, I'm not going to talk about Grindr and sexual racism. I mean, if I wanted to suck a white man's dick, I can't do it because there's sexual racism. That's just a horrible joke. Anyway, the fact that you can't have expectation of safety anywhere, and I can't help but keep railing about it. She's the victim because she killed an innocent guy in his house. That's how we live. These cats are killing black folks. And then they're talking about how horrible they feel. It's a tragic mistake. And the sorrow they're expressing. Hey, your sorrow don't bring them folks back. I mean, I can see if there was some sorrow I arrested them. And I shouldn't have arrested them. But we let them out of jail. But that ain't what happened. Black people are dead. Bossom Jean is dead. He ain't never coming back. Because this heifer lied. But she's out. I ain't wishing cancer on her. I'm not calling her a bitch. I'm just saying that, maybe something should happen. And on that note, I'm Mr. F to N Word. This is another Smooth John production. I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth.
She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
Smooth.